Welcome to the FarmBeats podcast.
FarmBeats is proudly produced by the Nebraska Digital Agriculture team and hosted by students at the University of Nebraska.
The FarmBeats podcast comes to you each week to discuss the trends, the realities, and the value of digital agriculture.
Through interviews with expert producers and innovators from across the agriculture industry, we hope that you step away from each episode with new practical knowledge of digital agriculture technology. Hello, FarmBeats followers, and welcome to another episode of the FarmBeats podcast. I'm Camila.
I'm Rana, and we are glad to have you with us as we begin our discussion on the Internet of Things, or IoT, specifically to support the next generations of agriculture with our special guest, Dr. Xin Xiao from Panhandle Research and Extension Center, University of Nebraska-Lincoln. Could you please introduce yourself and provide an overview of your career journey related to the digital agriculture thus far?
Sure. So my name is Xin Qiao. I'm a irrigation engineer stationed at Scotts Bluff. I'm also a associate professor with Department of Biological Systems Engineering. I've been in UNL 7 years. My journey to digital agriculture, I wouldn't call what I do right now is digital agriculture. I don't have a computer science background. It just started from what I hear from the growers. There is a need to provide a little bit easier to use solutions. So we started to do that about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe we started this. So
how would you explain the Internet of Things and how it is utilized in agricultural sectors?
You guys are asking a lot of big questions. I'm not the best person to summarize some of these big questions, but I'll try my best. Mm-hmm. I mean, Internet of Things, my understanding is from a non-computer science background degree person is, it's just a way of communication. It's a way to connect different things using different kinds of bands or telemetries. I think right now, Internet of Things, compared to, if you call that traditional telemetry, it's lower cost, but I think it's underutilized right now. There are more, it is underutilized right now. I think there are a couple of things. When you talk about Internet of Things, you're thinking about large amounts of sensors. That really suits agriculture because I'm assuming you guys all have agriculture background, right? As your major, there are lots of things we wanted to monitor. If you think about right now, if you think about a grower's field or any study field you guys have, the amount of parameters you need is a lot, but the capability to monitor these parameters are still limited right now. There are more, but it's not enough.
Okay. Thank you for sharing your thoughts about the IoT or Internet of Things. And sure. Diving more into your research, could you provide an overview of the work in your research lab? We look up about the information. It's like the Panhandle Research and Extension Center, especially the mm-hmm. irrigation and the digital agriculture lab.
Yeah. So the focus of my group right now, we have several different focuses. One is still the irrigation management. How do we better manage irrigation for major row crops in the Panhandle, Nebraska? How do we help growers to produce better crops without, using excessive water or even do not penalize yield with limited amount of water? The second part is what we're interested in right now is how do we advance on-farm research. So that really ties with Internet of Things. How do we better monitor different parameters? How do we provide value to the growers? That's the two big focus of my program right now. And I'll say some of the other smaller research projects are all tied with these two big umbrellas.
Do you mean to share like maybe the main research project that you currently doing right now?
Sure. One project we're doing right now that's funded by USDA is we're trying to, again, how to advance on-farm research, but the main goal is how do we better predict sugar beet yield and quality for sugar beet growers in Western Nebraska. I don't know if you guys ever seen a sugar beet before, but that's one of the major crops we have here. And a lot of times the background of that initiative was, if you think about launching a rocket into the space, we now have the capacity to very precisely predict where that rocket is going to be in precise minutes and seconds, right? But if I ask you, hey, what is crop yield is going to be after 3 months? I don't think there's any good way of doing that. So, and that ties back to growers management. If you wanted to convince growers, hey, why don't you do this? Why don't we do that? One question they will ask is, if I do this, what kind of yield am I going to get? What kind of profit am I going to get? So this project, we are collaborating with Georgia Institute of Technology. We're developing deep learning algorithm to integrate and combine different data sets, different parameters, using deep learning algorithm to better predict sugar beet yield and quality parameters. So it is ongoing. This is the first year. So that's one of the projects we're working on right now.
On your lab website, numerous real-time data from the sensors are available. How is the management of all data generated?
That is a really good question. So currently we have sensors that are using LoRa. We have sensors that are using NB-IoT. And some of the sensors are commercially available, meaning you can purchase them anytime, any amounts you need. And some of the sensors we fabricated by ourselves. So all these sensors, they will just like typical IoT framework, there will be a data broker like the Things Network, or sometime we collaborate with commercial companies. There is a LoRa provider in Nebraska called Ethos Connected. They are a main LoRa signal provider. So after the data is brokered on those platform, it transferred to our server. From there, we do post-processing, like to tease out all the outliers or repackage the data into the product that our clientele can understand and then display on our website. So that's kind of typical flow.
That sounds fantastic. Previous topics about the sensors and the sensors that were available, like the data of the sensors that are available from your website. So I was wondering, like, are you also using all of this data as a big data for supporting the decision-making process for growers?
Yeah. So the soil moisture sensor data, growers use that to determine their irrigation scheduling. And we also have, if you go to the main page of the website, there is a sucrose pyrite monitoring. So those are being used by a sugar beet company called Western Sugar Co-op. And they're using it to help them making decisions on the likelihood of occurrence of a disease called sucrose pyrite leaf spot. So we're providing those kind of services for them to help them better manage those different aspects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about managing data, do you think farmers have the base to be managing them? With what we have until now, the sensor generating data?
Most of the time, I don't think it is probably not a need of them to manage, you know, sensor data. I think a lot of times they are the end users of the sensor data, right? And, you know, once you have a dashboard and the data is there, I think very few cases, just according to my experiences, I haven't encountered any growers needed to process the data a little bit. Yeah, most of the time they are the end users. It is important to them. The data is straightforward, easy to understand, ready to be used. The cost of learning what that data means needs to be low. You can't spend, you know, very long time just to understand what it means and how can that be helpful to my daily operation.
Regarding like the data that you use for these sensors, what kind of sensors that you use that would be like helpful for farmers? Like if they want to apply this IoT, do they need to like buy certain sensors for their field and then you try to help them like to analyze the data and interpret it?
Yeah, so right now we some of the sensors we provide to them for free, so we can get the research data back to improve our approach. There are some time, you know, they will contract with a company. They pay the cost of the sensor to that company, but we extract that data from them and then analyze the data, study about the data. If that's what you're asking.
Okay, it sounds amazing.
And do you think growers are more open for technology nowadays?
I think growers are always open to technology. They're always open. I always tell my students, you know, back in the days, you know, when cars are not that popular, it's not like people don't like cars. It is because the cost of cars are too high. So that's what I think some of the technologies we have right now. I think on the cost side, sometime we might feel growers probably don't like that technology or that technology. I think the technology itself might be fine, but the cost of implementing that technology is too high, while the benefits I can get from using of that technology is not enough to cover the cost. So it is a very straightforward and simple economical issue. It's not, I don't like that technology. It needs to benefit my operation, right? I'm not just using it like I think it's cool. It needs to be useful.
Yeah, I think that is one of a challenge for implementing this IoT in a farmers, especially like if we talk to the farmers like in the not so developed country, like not as big as US. I think like the implementation of this technology is kind of like have more challenge because of the cost that you said.
Yeah, there are still a lot of ways you can implement lower cost framework. So, like LoRa, it's an unlicensed band. So, to implement a network like that actually isn't that bad. But it's I think long term wise, you want your product to be beneficial to their operation. Growers also need to feel the benefits, no matter he or she is in the developed country or a developing country. And long term wise, you also want them to be willing to pay for that. That means they're feeling it's being useful. So it's sustainable, and technology needs to be needs input, needs investment to improve every year as well. So low cost is, I guess, it is not the ultimate solution to technology adoption.
You know, like extra input if you want like better output, right?
I mean, some of the technologies in the ag sector, we feel like it might be a little bit behind than some of the other sectors. Just think about your phone, right? So how many updates are you getting from those companies? But they have a much higher margin of profits. But ag tech technology companies, it needs that kind of a resource to provide frequent updates as well. So that's my understanding. It needs to be sustainable for everyone.
Agreed.
Besides the cost of the technology, what would be another challenge that people involved in agriculture, like researchers, students, professors, and growers could find in the field using IoT?
Yeah, that's another really good question, but I'll try my best to and that's also a big question. So I think using the IoT is not an issue at all for growers. They can very readily to purchase a lot of those services, and for researchers, you get more than enough Raspberry boards and Arduino boards, different LoRa heads, NB-IoT heads. You can implement all kinds of things. That's not an issue. But if I think about it, it needs to be more connected, and when we think about the IoT, I think the challenge comes in the quality and scale. I don't know if this directly answers your questions, but I think the main challenge is the quality of data you can collect from these IoT-enabled platforms, and also the scale of that, because you need that to be able to provide something that's meaningful. If it's just from one field or two fields, right? You can only say, hey, it works. But even on a case study, that's not enough cases. But when you are talking about the quality and scale of the network or the IoT network, you're quickly, you'll have a lot of issues, right? The dependability of your sensors, and also at different scenarios. The simple question is, does it work, right? And then you have a lot of other issues. But so I think that's probably the angle I'm coming from is more towards researchers. But for growers, the technologies are there. Maybe a little bit more would be helpful. But yeah.
Yeah, that's really nice. In terms of like learning and like working with the IoT, if we are like a student, what would be the first steps and the required skills that you would advise us if we want to like learn more about this IoT?
I think there's no required skills, to be honest, but the only thing, it's not a skill, but you're willing to learn. I'm talking about every day, right? If you can spend 30 minutes to 1 hour just Google and YouTube, and there are also courses at UNL that provides you some programming skills, right? But there are more than enough materials, especially right now. You have different AI assistants, you need to be willing to put in time to and purchase a simple sensor, just maybe under $50, $60, and you can play with that yourself and play with that, build some small projects over time. I think it is not that difficult. Well, of course, I'm not implementing some high tech, but simply know how to use it. It's not that difficult.
And what do you think will be the next step for IoT? Like, now we're connecting everything, we are scaling up. Where do you think we want to reach with all that research and projects on it?
Personally, I don't think we are there yet in terms of connecting everything. I haven't seen a large enough network, other than a company that has a capacity of generating data reliably and on a large scale that you can use every year. I think that's still something the academia needs to work on with growers, with clientiles, and also with industry partners. I don't think it's viable just by academia itself. Once you have that, you are enabling lots of opportunities. So I think if you ask for next step, I think it's a lot. For example, if you guys are doing modelings, either nitrogen modeling or crop modeling, you can very quickly, right? You need to, if you develop a model, you need to verify. So you can very quickly get some fields with this good quality data. You can quickly calibrate or validate your models, and you can quickly iterate your parameters, make your model applicable to that area. You can do a lot of big data studies. You can also do a lot of small data studies. The opportunities is endless, but I don't think we have the infrastructure to do that yet. Just my personal experience or understanding.
So we still got like more doors to open in this field of IoT, right?
Yeah, definitely. We need to be, it's not only technology, that it also comes in. If you talk about sharing data between industry, private sector, individual like growers and us, there needs to be agreements, there needs to be understanding of how that data will be used, how that data will be, who will benefit from that. It needs a lot of work to achieve that. I think IoT is, that's a tool, right? Mm-hmm. So, we're not there yet.
Yeah, needs to work together to make it like become better later in the future.
Where can growers or researchers or students can find more information about it, or can attend workshops and event about this topic?
Before we have held a few workshops introducing to them what is IoT, what is some of the newer technologies we're working with. So I think there are plenty of that within our institution and maybe across our institution. Just have to keep an eye out. There's also plenty of materials on the internet can help you understand that. But it would be nice if we have some format of workshop that happens across different areas in Nebraska, growers and students, and everybody can attend and share. I think actually at Lincoln there were some big data workshops. I remember I've seen flyers about that. It looks really cool. Yeah, so there's plenty of that.
That's amazing. So there's a tradition on Farm Beats podcast to ask for a piece of advice. What advice would you give to anyone that interested in developing the IoT for the future of agriculture?
My only advice is, keep interested. And also start build something. If you're a grower, maybe try to see what kind of technologies are available to you. And if you are a researcher, and start build something and see what's applicable. If you are industry, it'll be nice for us if we can collaborate more and learn who's what's happening in the research world and what's happening in growers field. But yeah, just I guess the to summary in one sentence is start to do it. And you will understand it more and more. It is not complicated. It's just a tool. Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Xiao, for sharing with us today.
Yeah.
So if anyone would like to collaborate with you or like be curious in IoT and want to learn something from you, are you open with that? And how can they reach you out?
Yeah, they can email me, they can call me. And they can any way is fine.
Okay.
And again, I'm not IoT expert at all. I'm just we just started to we use it a lot, and we've had some user cases, and there are something we learned through experiences. But none of the people in my program was trained to implement this kind of stuff, and we learn from our it's like what I said before, we learn a lot from our mistakes. So for one last example I can give to you is when we first learn about LoRa. If you read literature, you will read LoRa has a communication range of 10 kilometers or 16 kilometers. But in reality, after we use it, that is not the case. So once you start to do it, you will learn a lot about that technology. But we're always welcoming anyone that's interested in IoT, on-farm research, how to we can really leverage, different people's expertise. We're just irrigation. We're doing a little bit other things as well, but agriculture is complicated. So we, we'll welcome anyone to collaborate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to you guys for inviting me.
Yes, thank you for your time. It was a wonderful conversation.
This will be really beneficial for our listeners because it seems like for us also, like we kind of like afraid to see this technology because it seems like a lot to learn and it's like a new field for us because like for me, for example, I'm from like Indonesia. So if I study about IoT and I try to implement in Indonesia, the challenge probably about the conventional agriculture that we have there. And also like if we have this technology, the workers gonna be less because we don't need like people to record the data anymore, right? We just use the system and monitoring them like using the sensors and it's been a challenge like to implement this kind of technology back home.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you talking about it will reduce the personnel or reduce the job requirements? Is that
It's probably what I experienced before. It will reduce the number of workers that we use in the field because we just maybe need half of them, but they are like trained one and we don't need like a lot of people to just like helping to monitor like pest and disease or like just checking the fertilizers deficiency for example. Yeah, that's the case.
From my experience, it seems like it will save people's time sometime when
It is.
things are working and you can get the data you want, but it also enables them to do something else and do the work more efficiently. And not only us, but I think at growers or industry, everybody is looking for people that understands agriculture and understands computer science or IoT or programming. They're looking for people that can solve real world problems. So I think, yes, you might reduce some labor or manual labor requirement in the fields, but there is huge demand everywhere. You know, we're looking for good students having these skills. So I think it enables you to do something with even better pay or much better pay. Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, hopefully.
I think in Brazil, the connectivity would be a challenge.
Yeah, like the internet connection.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's also a lot of alternatives to that, like LoRa, and it doesn't require very large bandwidth, not like your phone. You need to transmit a song, you need to transmit a video. No, you're transmitting bytes. A text, right? You're transmitting a number, 42 or 40, 50. It's very, very small amount of data. There are a lot of alternatives to that. So yeah, that's another reason IoT is really perfect for agriculture, because a lot of time you're not transmitting large amount of data and you don't really need LTE or 5G.
Oh, okay. That's perfect. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because even a lot of data we're interested are very small amount. And the other thing nice about agriculture, it's most of the time you're monitoring crop, right? So the frequency you need on that data is much, much, much less frequent than some of the other industries. For example, you know, the crop in 9 o'clock in the morning and, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it's still the same crop.
Yeah.
You don't need to transmit your data every 1 minute unless you're, you know, really looking into something specific. So the frequency is a lot lower, the data amount is a lot smaller. So IoT is really perfect to ag, and it has probably one of the least requirement on connectivity.
Yeah.
So
sounds great. Hopefully, like in the future, we can have like more IoT implementation in the agriculture, especially.
Yeah, I think they should build a IoT lab in Lincoln. So
yeah,
anybody
that would
are
be perfect.
interested, you can test out different sensors and can learn how it works, how to get data from the sensor to the server, and how to display it. I think that would be good.
Yeah, that would be perfect. Thank you once again.
Yeah.
Rochelle, for sharing with us.
It's really exciting developing IoT technologies for supporting agriculture management. One of my favorite parts of this episode is how farmers can predict yield using IoT.
Also, to understand the benefits of using IoT and sensors that could help time management, especially in the collecting data.
Thank you for taking the time to join us today on the FarmBeats podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts to be informed about the latest content each week.
We welcome your feedback, so if you have comments or questions for us, please reach out for us over the email, on Twitter, or in the review section of your favorite podcast platform. Our contact information can be found in the show notes.
We would like to thank Nebraska Extension for their support of this podcast and their commitment to providing high-quality informational material to members of the agricultural community in Nebraska and beyond.
The opinions expressed by the host and guests on this podcast are solely their own and do not reflect the views of the Nebraska Extension or the University of Nebraska-Lincoln.
We look forward to you joining us next week for another episode of FarmBeats.